So we're going to talk about wisdom today. Wisdom's one of my favorite things to talk about, because from the time that I was a really little boy, my dad taught us about wisdom. And my mom did too. You get credit too, Mom. But I remember my dad speaking about wisdom in Solomon. And if you don't know the story of Solomon, I'll just sum it up in this. Solomon, before Jesus, was the wisest man to ever walk the earth. And the Lord came to him in a dream, and the Lord said, "What do you want?" And Solomon said, "I would like wisdom," in his dream. And so Solomon in his, can I get a little bit more of me in here, Cam? In the front wedge, that'd be great, thank you. Solomon, in his cruise control mode, cruise control, just dreaming, right? That's when we're in cruise control. Autopilot. His autopilot defaulted to the Lord coming to him and saying, "What would you like?" "I would like wisdom." And so my dad taught me and my brother and my sister about the importance of desiring wisdom. Desire the Lord, but above all else, desire wisdom. And he just always told us, if the Lord ever shows up to you, if he comes to you and says, "Hey, Ethan, what would you like from me?" Don't ask for a new car. Don't ask for money. Don't ask for finances. Ask for wisdom. Every single time. Don't ask for anything else, because nothing is as valuable as wisdom. How many know that's true? If you don't know, you're going to know today. And so I had this idea as a kid of what wisdom was. And see, we all have this experience of understanding what natural wisdom is. And then we meet somebody who carries kingdom wisdom. And you can easily see the difference. Because somebody who carries natural wisdom gains that wisdom by purchasing it through time and experience. Everybody say, that's true, Ethan. Natural wisdom, you buy it. The currency to buy natural wisdom is buying it with your time and your experience. That's how you get it. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. Of course not. I've got the microphone. In kingdom wisdom, you only get kingdom wisdom by it being revealed to you. It comes to you by revelation. It doesn't come to you by experience. It comes to you by revelation. The word revelation means to reveal. Like the veil got torn off. Like you can see something you didn't see before. Right? And so I think many of us today, we know what earthly wisdom might look like. We know the benefits of kingdom wisdom, but... And I don't even think I need to go through a list of what kingdom wisdom will create for you. What I want to talk to you about is how to get kingdom wisdom. Because many of us know if you have kingdom wisdom, you have insight into things that you might not have had insight to. So you might be able to walk into a business and say, and look at the spreadsheets, look at the design, and say, you know what, I'm seeing something that to a normal person you don't see, but the Lord is revealing something to me about this business. And if we do this, 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 and this, you will have wealth. Or it could look into a marriage that's about on the brink of divorce and look in and say, you know what? I see what the Lord's doing. I see what the Lord is trying to address here, but you guys can't see it. I am just seeing it because the Lord has what? Revealed it to me, right? Yes? In natural wisdom, what it does is it creates independence. So the wiser you get, the more you think you don't need God. The wiser I am, the more I can do this on my own. I've got this. I've been here before. Right? I've been here before. This happened 10 years ago. I can handle this on my own. But wisdom, kingdom wisdom, requires dependency on the Lord. It has to be yielded and leaning in to the Lord in order to obtain the wisdom that you need. Earthly wisdom, Adam, it's the snake coming in the garden saying, that's not true. No. You don't need God for everything. There's some knowledge you can obtain on your own. Okay, that's independence. But dependence, which is hard for Americans because we like freedom and independence. I'll do it on my own. Don't tell me what to do. We need to be dependent on the Lord in every single step we do. Everything. Everything. So wisdom creates, true wisdom creates dependency. And I'm going to say this before we get into the word. Wisdom is emotional. Wisdom is not, it's, let me say it this way. Anybody ever see Star Trek? Spock, right? Anybody know who Spock is? Yeah, live long and prosper. Spock in Star Trek is emotionless. His race or whatever, his alien race, has no emotions. He's all IQ, all logic. And so when we talk about wisdom, sometimes we assume that wisdom means there is no emotion. That it's all head knowledge, and it's very upright, and it's uptight, and it's very this, that, and the other. This is how you do it. But kingdom wisdom is actually romantic in nature. I'll say it again. Kingdom wisdom is romantic in nature. That's why I say it's emotional. Do you know God gave you your emotions? Yeah? And our emotions are supposed to be pointed where? Towards Him. Yes? And so when we point our emotions to Him, and we give Him our honor and our grit and our praise, and when we give Him the highest praise, right? When we give Him our attention and we let our emotions actually be involved, it's not just, oh, I'm very smart about things of the kingdom. I'm trying to differentiate something right now. Kingdom wisdom, and now we're talking about religious wisdom. It's one thing to know your Bible and to have it all up here. It's another thing to know your Bible and have it all in here. See, the Pharisees had religious wisdom, and then Jesus came, and He exposed something happening in their heart. He noticed something. Oh, I'm going to confound the wise today. He said, my revelation, what I carry, is going to make their wisdom look like foolishness. Because they were depending on their own knowledge, their own ideas, what they've learned over the years and how they got there, how much time they spent studying, how much time they spent praying, all the things they did in their own strength to get there. But kingdom wisdom says, man, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't know what I know if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know that Brennan was having nightmares without Jesus. That wasn't me. It was Jesus speaking because Jesus was in Brennan's bedroom. Right? Sorry, dude. I'm just like, he gave me the thumbs. Thanks, buddy. He's in our worlds, and so He knows everything going on. I don't know what's going on, but He can reveal it. Right? So, do we want wisdom? Yes. And if you don't want kingdom wisdom, then it's foolishness. Because that means you don't want to see. And Jesus said, come to Me. Those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. He says, I reveal through parables those who have eyes to see, ears to hear. Okay, you'll get it. Okay, let's go into this. Okay, go to Psalms 111. Okay, this is in the Amplified. It says, the reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. So what is wisdom? It is the reverent fear of the Lord. It is the beginning, it's the prerequisite, it's the absolute essential, it's the alphabet. So the foundation of preschool with wisdom is reverence and fear for the Lord. It says, a good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. His praise endures forever. I want to focus on this word, revere. We named our youngest son, Little Revy. Anybody seen Little Revy going around? His name is Revere Praise. We named him that because we believe that his life will be marked by reverent praise, by a life that is yielded in awe of the praise of who he is. That like his whole life will be so, that's what I believe. We believe that. We believe that Revere will grow up to be someone who leads people into that. That's all worship leaders are, right? All they are is people who are standing up here just going, and they're just hoping that you go with them. But whether you do or not, it doesn't matter, because they're going to be up here going, right? Because they were already doing this before you got here. So whether you join in or not, that's your problem. It's not their problem, it's your problem. Oh, that'll preach right there. So revere means, the definition of reverence, it means deep respect for someone. So I believe wisdom is gifted to you, the spirit of wisdom itself is gifted through you through the doorway of reverence, through the fear of the Lord. See, there's lots of passages in the Bible where it talks about the fear of the Lord, and that's a hard thing for us to understand because we're like, should we be scared of him? Because he also says, come to me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's something that we, in the English language, we struggle with that phrase because it says, fear the Lord. So it sounds like we should cower in terror, but really, it means to revere him. To know that he is high and mighty and he is crowned with many crowns. That like, if he walks into the room and you just don't want to give him attention, you're not revering him. If he walks into the room and you can't even clap, oh, he's here. Jesus is here, I guess. That's not reverence. Reverence is like, you know, just like running, crawling over top of people, jumping on top of people, like, get out of my way. I have to see the man, Jesus. That's reverence. And what we need to understand is wisdom comes through reverence. So 1 John 3:2-3, it says this, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, everybody say, when he is revealed, we shall be like him, say it, for we shall see him, say for sure, there you go, for we shall see him as he is. So it says, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When you see him, things are revealed to you. But it's pretty hard for things to be revealed to you if you're not seeing him. If you're taking too much time right here. Do you know that, like, on average, people touch their phones thousands of times a day? I can't remember how many times it is. I think it's upwards of, like, it can get up to, like, 10,000 touches a day or more. Just 1, 2, 3, 4. And sometimes we wonder, like, God, why is my life not touched? Why is my life not touched by you? Because you've been touching something else. When his heart is longing for you to touch him. He's longing to be in touch with you. And so this verse, it says, when we see him, we'll be like him. And what is Jesus? Jesus is the King. He is the Lord's. It also says in the Bible that he is wisdom itself. Are you catching what I'm saying? When you see him who is wisdom himself, you will be made like him. So if you want to be wise, what do you need to do? You need to look at Jesus. Because when you look at Jesus, you're revealed, and then when you're revealed, you become like him. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? It's the message I will preach till the day I die. Every time I preach, you know what I'm going to say. Spend time with Jesus, look at him, and you'll become like him. That's my message. It'll never change. It doesn't matter the topic. If you want wisdom, you need Jesus, and he'll give you wisdom. Yeah? Come on. So this verse reminds me of something where, I'm just going to go on a little bunny trail here. Has anybody seen the movie Elf? Okay, the movie Buddy the Elf, you know what I mean? Christmas movie. So in the movie Elf, there's a part where he's in the store, and it's a Christmas store, and they say, okay, everybody, Santa's coming to town, and he goes, Santa! He just freaks out in the middle of the store because he's just like so pumped that Santa's coming. And in Revelation, it talks about Jesus returning. I'm just going on this bunny trail because I just feel like Holy Spirit wants to. In Revelation, it talks about Jesus returning. It says his robe will be dipped in blood. He'll have a sword in his hand. He'll have fire in his eyes. A sword will be coming out of his mouth, that he will come to liberate the world. That's intense. Like a robe dipped in blood. And then Paul constantly in all of his gospels, he's always, the constant theme is that on the day of the coming of the Lord, you would be able to present yourself to the Lord in confidence and in boldness. So I don't know about you, but when I think about Jesus splitting through the sky and his robe is dipped in blood, he has a sword in his hand, there's fire in his eyes and a sword coming out of his mouth. Does that sound easy to be like, yeah? Like, woo! You're gonna have to know him to be able to boldly approach that. You're gonna have to deeply know him. And that's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom comes from knowing him. And that's Buddy the Elf. Is when the Lord splits the sky, he's looking for a people that will be like, Jesus! And then just run. But shrinking back means you've been carrying a wisdom from a different kingdom. Shrinking back, taking steps back from the one who liberated you means you have belief systems in natural wisdom that has lied to you and betrayed you. But Jesus will never betray you. The Bible says that Jesus is wisdom himself. That's why Paul says, put on the mind of who? Christ. So when you put his mind on, you receive his revelation, and his revelation reveals to you that you are loved, that I love you, that I died for you, that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. That's never happened to me before. This is what we've been called to do, is to know him so that we can carry his wisdom. So Proverbs 3:13-18, it says this about wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, or her profit be better than gold. The gain from her is better than silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her are fast. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Man, wisdom's pretty important, huh? So you're like, Ethan, I don't know how this works in my day-to-day. Here's the story. So I started in my current job that I have right now. It's going to be 7 years ago next month. And when I got hired, it's a sales job. When I got hired, I started every single day. I laid hands on my computer, and I said, Lord, I thank you for your favor. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you that I'm inexperienced in this job, but you can give me experience supernaturally. Do you remember what I said about natural wisdom? You got to purchase it with time and experience. Well, wisdom can give you the experience before you've spent the time. So I said, Lord, I thank you. I have the mind of Christ that even while I'm here at work, you want to reveal to me truth about my job. You're like, what? He's that involved in my day-to-day? Yes, he's that involved. He wants to be part of my day. So I involve him in my sales job. You're like, that doesn't seem biblical, Ethan. Well, be quiet. It is biblical. What part of Jesus being in your life every second of the day is not biblical? He's in my sales job. He's with me. Okay, so anyway, so I'm doing my sales job, and I have very little experience. Over time, within like 3 or 4 months, I get like one tiny little deal, one little sales thing. And then all of a sudden, the next one comes, and then the next one comes, and then it's just this, and then it's just, whoom, this wave of accounts and clients that are just coming in, yes, through me working hard and doing my job. That's part of being wise, is Jesus handing you something, saying, can I trust you with this? And you saying, yes, you can trust me with this. I'll work hard. I'll work harder than somebody next to me. Because that's what, at the end of the day, that's who I am, okay? Anyways, so over time, all these clients come in, and then eventually I hear this from my coworkers who are not believers. They say, Ethan, it's just not fair. And I'm like, why? What are you talking about? Why? He's like, God likes you more than he likes us. That's what they said. I didn't bring it up. They were just like, Ethan, it's not fair. God likes you more than he likes us. I was like, that's not true. I just know him. Oh, there you go. That's not true. I just know him. So remember that verse of John. So when he comes to me and I see him, I'm made like him. So you're like, oh, well, I just don't, everything's hard for me. You know, life, I just don't have the answers. Jesus has the answers. So if you want those answers, you need to become like him. So in my job, my coworkers who are not believers are identifying the difference. We're all doing the same thing, but there's an outpouring happening on one dude. And it's not because I'm amazing. It's because I'm underneath the fountain. Right? So especially, dude, let's get after it. Today, if you own a business in this place, I'm not about being the finance guy of like, yeah, the Lord wants you to have millions and thousands and blah, blah, blah. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom, in the kingdom, your goal should be, I want to outgive everyone. I want to give so much money to people and to organizations that are making a difference in the world. I want to give so much money to God that at the end of my days, he says, good job, good and faithful servant. So if you own a business, are you kidding? Somebody get me an extra mic. They're going out. It's the enemy. It's attacking. Everybody intercede right now. Prayer languages, go. So In this moment, it's not about me trying. As a young 20-year-old, I started this job when I was 20. As a 20-year-old trying to figure out how to be in this white-collar job where people have degrees, I don't have a degree, and people are trying to work hard, and you know, all these people have been here for 15, 20 years, and I'm this newbie who has never worked in a sales job like this. In those moments, it's the best time to ask God for the wisdom. the best time to yield on him and say, I need to be dependent on you every single day. Yeah, it feels weird laying my hand on my computer saying, Lord, I believe emails are going to come in today for new accounts and new clients and ginormous sales. I believe it because I'm your favorite. I'm joking with you, right? Like, obviously, we're all his favorite, right? But you got to believe it about yourself. Come on. But this all comes from reverence. It all comes from yielding to who he is. I love the story about the wise men. I've always loved the story. And there's always been something there that I've not been able to dig up. Like, what is going on here? And earlier this year, before the series was even close, the Lord just he unearthed the nugget for me. So the wise men, right, who came to Jesus, it's Bethlehem. It's not just a cute Christmas story. It's not just like this, oh, we three kings of Orient are. Like, it's amazing. So these wise men, and it probably was not just three, just so you guys know. We've turned it into the three wise men, but the Bible says the wise men came from more than likely Persia all the way to Bethlehem because they saw the signs. And these wise men were seeking out the Lord. They were trying to seek him, to see who he was. Okay, so let's read this. Matthew 2:11. Skipped on a verse, Sonia. Sorry, Bonnie. You know what's going to happen. Matthew 2:11. Here we go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was born. Let me go back a little bit. Going back. When Herod was the king, he heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was troubled by the coming of the king. Jerusalem, God's city, was troubled by the king coming. So wise men come into Jerusalem saying, he's here. Where will we find him? We know he's here. Tell us where to go. And Jerusalem said, oh yeah, he's over there in Bethlehem. And nobody went with them. Natural wisdom. Come on, guys, listen to this. You can go to your church and you can be in a room full of people who say, he's right here and this is what he's doing, and not engage with him. In the city of God's presence, they say, the king has arrived, and only the wise men from the outside were the ones who went. Don't be someone who sits in a room and somebody says, the king is here. Don't be the person not to fall on their face, because you will miss out on some of the greatest gifts. You will. I'm not preaching fear to you. I'm not preaching condemnation to you. I'm preaching this is your choice. You can have as much as you want, but if you don't want any, you won't get any. It's true. So we'll keep going. Let me say this too. It's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. So whether you don't want any, he's still going to keep knocking on your door, okay? You know that? You still might not have any. You might be waiting for that moment, but guess what? He's still knocking. Yeah, I'll take it all too. Let's go. Okay, so when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea,
For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people in Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come to worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when the star that they had seen rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Listen to this. The first worship leaders, like, of Jesus's time, these guys were the first. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they saw him, they revered him, and they fell. When they saw him, they had great honor for who he was. Why? Because natural wisdom would say, that's a baby. I'm not bowing to a baby. Kingdom wisdom says, that's his majesty. That's the King of all kings, the one crowned with many crowns, incarnate, in flesh, here to liberate us from all of our captives, to free us from our sin. He's come to liberate us. I'm going to fall at his feet. Oh, and we make baby Jesus jokes. In culture, have you not heard this? I've heard Christians make baby Jesus joke, like, dear baby Jesus. That's his majesty. That's a revelation that you don't know who he really is. And back then, they were the only ones. And the shepherds, right? But they were the only ones to come and say, this is his majesty. We will give him honor and glory, and we will give to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold speaks of his kingship. Frankincense speaks of his priestlyhood. And myrrh speaks of his death and burial and resurrection. Fun fact, frankincense and myrrh can only be acquired by striping and scraping away the bark of a tree. And their healing ointments, by his stripes, you've been healed. And so they give to him someone who will be, who is the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine who is striped for us, and that sap comes out like the hole in his side, and you are healed from all your transgressions. They were seeing something that you could not see in the natural because they had wisdom. And where did that wisdom come from? It came from reverence for the Lord. They were so in awe of who he is that even in the state of a baby, they had to fall on their faces. I remember when Lydia and I were in Utah, we went to this conference, and it was with Benny Hinn. Who's ever heard of Benny Hinn? Awesome. We went to this conference. I'm going to get super vulnerable and real with you guys right now, okay? So we went to this conference, and we sat in this meeting, and there was a moment where Benny Hinn, standing at the front, he said, I don't want anybody to move in here. Nobody move. Nobody standing up. Nobody walking around. Whatever. Lydia's pregnant with Grayson at this point, our first. And she's, like, sick. She's got, like, pregnancy sick, okay? So she's like, I'm going to throw up. And she tries to walk out, and you could tell that the whole room was just like, he said, don't walk around. What are you doing? And Lydia went to the back, and basically the usher in the back said, no, he doesn't want anybody moving around. She's like, I'll throw up all over you, good sir. It's either a throw up on you or throw up in the toilet. Which one would you like? And so anyway, so Lydia leaves. And so Lydia and I get super offended. Like legit. We're like straight up offended. Okay? You know that even we can get offended, right? I've not arrived. I'm on my way. But the Lord will use offense to reveal things going on in your heart. Okay? So here in this moment, Lydia and I are both like, that's so ridiculous. So controlling. Gosh. Can't believe he would tell nobody, don't walk around like it's all about him or something. You know what I mean? We're just, that's what we're doing. We're in the car and we're just like, that was so stupid. We left early. Like, there's, the presence of the Lord is in the building. Not Benny Hinn, but the presence of the Lord is moving. Holy Spirit's moving. And we leave. This was what, 6 years ago? 7 years ago. Okay? Not too long ago, just a stone throw away. Okay? So we're offended. We never really got, we were just like, that was stupid. We never really, it's not like we were walking in bitterness towards Benny Hinn the rest of our life, but we were just like, this is dumb. Like, that was dumb. So then we go to Jesus Image in Florida this last November. Huh? Lizzie's giving me signs. She's like, yep. Curl shot. Two, three. It's like baseball signals. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. She's like, I'm like, blitz? Is it on three or four? Okay. She's like, shut up. So I love my wife. You're so awesome. This last November, like this last year, 2020, we went to Jesus Image in Florida, and Michael Koulianos is the lead pastor there. He's Benny Hinn's son-in-law. So we're sitting in worship, and we're both just standing there just crying. And Michael gets up there, and what do you know? He says, I don't want anybody moving around. Nobody move. Don't move. And we're both crying, and then the Lord reveals something to both of us. When Jesus comes in the room, you yield to him. And yeah, sometimes not having the option to get up and move out is actually good for you. Because what are you doing? You're giving up control. You're saying, he is here. Whether I feel him or not, he is here. And if he was here in a bodily form, you know you wouldn't do anything. You know you wouldn't move an inch. And so in this meeting in Florida, we realized, whoa, wisdom is expressed in reverence for the Lord. And wisdom is obtained through this reverence. So like when he comes into the room and you revere him and give him the honor and say, I'm not willing to look at my phone. I'm just going to stay still. I'm just going to sit here and not move because you're worth that. You're worth that kind of attention, Jesus. Goodness gracious, you guys. When you think about our life right now, and how much social media and everything like that is trying to get your attention. Or like your schedule. And when you come into the presence of the Lord, are you able to just stop and just give him that? Are you able to just put everything else on pause because he's worth it? And so we realized something. Benny Hinn in Utah was operating like a wise man. He was saying, he's here, nobody move. All your focus should be on the man, Jesus. And when we went to Florida, it was the same thing. But guess what? Our hearts were ready. It might take time for you to get through. I know I've offended people in here. I probably already offended Brennan. Love you, dude. He's giving me the thumbs up. He's like, yeah. But I know I've offended some of you. I've been offended. Sometimes when the Lord offends, it's because he's trying to address your believing something to be true that is not true, no matter how much you try to back it up with, well, this person said it, and this person said it, and this person said it, and my mentor said this, and this person said that, and he's like, no, it's not true. Do you know God, he lives outside of your brain? Like, just because you have an idea of what Christianity looks like doesn't mean you get to decide how he operates. This morning, there was joy bubbling up in the front. Bubbling, just shooting up. Like, Gabe's over here laughing. I'm over here just like, joy, joy, joy. Boom, 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 boom. Like, and I'm just thinking, man, we need more of this. Like, we need more of the Holy Spirit moving on us, through us. Like, we need to get plugged into the outlet of Holy Spirit a little bit more and just let your body feel the effects of who he is. Offensive. Wow. That's that control thing, huh? Well, I don't want Holy Spirit to, I don't want him to take over. I don't want to have him give him control. Maybe you need him to take control so that you can get free. Maybe you need to get plugged in. Anybody been electrocuted before? Anybody been tased before? There's going to be a couple of law enforcement people like, yeah, been tased before. When you got tased, were you like, no, I'm just going to resist it? Angelo? And you're just like, I'm just going to resist it. Didn't feel it. It's fine. No. You got full on like, bah, and you screamed until they turned it off. That's, some of us need that in the Holy Spirit. And how do we get there? You get in line. You say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to fix in me, fix it. Whatever you want to make new in me, make me new. Whatever that you as the surgeon need to cut out of me, cut it out. I don't care if it makes me look like a crazy person during worship. I don't care. I don't care about your opinion more than I care about his. I want when he splits the sky for me to be like, yes! You know me and I know you. But it's going to be kind of scary when he splits the sky and you don't feel like he knows you. Or you don't know him. I want to know him. Like, I want when he rips that sky open and it's like, boop, boop, boop. It's not going to sound like that. It's going to sound way cooler. But when he comes and he's got blood dripping down his robe and he has King of Kings written on his leg, I want to touch that robe. I want to be like, I want him to be like, Ethan, dude. I want him to, guys, do you know that when Jesus shows up, there's going to be like millions of people running to him? Don't you want to be the one that he says, oh, my faithful servant, you listen so well. You listen so well. You yielded yourself to wisdom. You revered my name above every other name. You revered my name above your name. Dude, let's talk about that. Come on. Reverence, giving honor. Can we give him honor more than we give ourselves honor? That's why when I worship, I'm just like, I don't care whether it makes sense to anybody else. I just want to worship him. I want him to know me and know that I care about him. One thing that's been really interesting and weird for me is you know how like kids' church, they do like motions while they sing? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. If you don't know, you should go check it out. It's pretty awesome. They do like motions while they sing. And one thing that I've like been doing as a grown man adult is I've been doing like more motions while I'm singing because I'm just like, this is taking me back to the childlikeness of what he first called me from. And so when we sing like, there is no one like you in the heavens or on the earth. There is no one like you in the heavens or I'm just like, it's for him. It's not for you. It's not for anybody else. It's just like, I want him to know with my body and with my mouth and every part of my being that everything is for you. And in that, I receive wisdom. That's why, like, if someone's like, wow, Ethan, such a good message, so good, I'm like, it's not my wisdom. It was gifted to me, and I gave it to you. It's not mine. It's his. But every step of my life is filled with these decision-making moments where this gift he's given me of wisdom, I get to use it. How unfortunate would it be for God to give you a gift and for you to put it in the closet and never open it? Wouldn't that be a bummer? And that's what the Lord's calling the river to right now, is a greater level of wisdom and knowledge in the Lord. that we would take on the mind of Christ and we would know him, and that by knowing him, we would express it through great kingdom wisdom in business, in life-changing moments where we're speaking the word of God into people's life, in love to the world around us. Well, God, I just don't know how to love this family of member of mine. They are just the worst. I can't stand them. You need wisdom of how to love them. You're like, well, I just need more love. It's like, well, maybe you need wisdom of how to see them. That's why it's important when someone prophesies, if you ever hear the Lord prophesy over somebody you don't like, you gotta listen up. You know what I mean? Because the Lord could pick somebody and say, like Bill could be up here and he could pick somebody and just be like, man, the Lord loves you so much. He loves you so much. I see him giving this to you. I see him showing what you were when you were 4 years old and you were in your bed crying and you were by yourself and he was there for you. And in the middle of your tragedy, he thought of you. He's thinking of you, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? He's just prophesying over this person that you are struggling with internally. That's when it's time to listen, because there's wisdom about that person being exchanged in the air. And when you take hold of that, you can start looking at people around you through different eyes, through his perspective. Is this making sense? Come on. So the wise men were the first to revere Jesus, and they definitely were not the last. If you want wisdom in your life, it comes at the feet of Jesus. It comes at his feet. Do you know, like, if you want to receive the inheritance and the gifts that the Lord has for you, you have to go to his house. Right? Like, the prodigal had to come home for the party to happen. Am I right? Did the Lord go, did the father go out to throw the party? Or did he throw the party when he came in and put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, a robe on his back, and then slaughter a lamb to throw a party? He had to come back to the father. So if there's areas in you and I's life where we're like, man, things are just falling short. We're just not, it's just not what I hoped it would be. You need wisdom. And when the Lord comes to you, he says, hey, there's these gracious moments with the Lord. I know my dad has them. I know Bill has them. I know Kim has them. I know there's these moments, and my mom has told me these stories where the Lord comes to her and is just like, what do you want? There's beautiful moments that you can't just make happen. Am I right? There's moments where he is so gracious and he just comes with that one question of, what do you need? What do you need today? And if you say, Jesus, all I need is you, you get wisdom. If you ask for wisdom, you'll get wisdom. But searching for other things and Googling, man, I'm experiencing this thing in my side and wonder what WebMD is going to tell me. Oh, I've got cancer. You know, if you Google anything, oh man, stub my toe, it hurts. Oh, cancer in your toe. You know what I mean? Like, we're looking for other wisdom, and we're not just like, Lord, something's going on in my body. I don't know what it is, but you do. That's using wisdom to come to the Father, who is the solution to your problem. Man, I'm just so depressed right now. Oh, I'm so anxious right now. Proverbs, in all you're getting, get understanding. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my heart right now, but I'm depressed and I'm anxious. Show me what happened or what lie I believed in my past that's causing me to live this way. Show me. I had that moment with my wife a few years back where I didn't realize this traumatic thing that happened to me when I was a boy, that a friend had impacted me severely I didn't even remember it. It was traumatic, and I buried it away in my brain. I didn't even know it happened, but I'm experiencing anxiety, and then I'm with Lydia, and all of a sudden the Lord says, hey, I'm going to reveal a memory that you forgot, but I'm going to show you that I was there when that happened to you, and it's going to bring healing so that you don't have to be depressed and anxious anymore. And I bawled like a baby with Lydia, like a little tiny, like Grayson, just like in my head in her lap, just bawling. Because I'm realizing that this pain has been stowed away for so long, and I needed the Lord's wisdom to see it rightly. To see that God didn't, he wasn't away from me, he didn't put me in that situation, that this traumatic thing that happened to me was there because I took steps to get there, but in that moment, he was gracious and he was pulling me out of it. Wisdom will reveal to you what's going on in your heart so that you can truly be with the Lord without condemnation in your heart, and that you can be with the Lord with a clear conscience.